everybody. Welcome. This is Mordechai Plotzker. Thank you for joining us here at shareenjoyment.com. And this is a nightly share recap of Parshas Vayikra, a new beginning, a new start, as we usher in the month of Nisan, and Pesach is now upon us. And so, Baruch Hashem, we are preparing, but the Parsha begins with feeling a little down and out. So I'd like to begin with a little joke. I was walking with my friend home Friday night, and we came across a clearing, and we came out into the circle, and we saw that there were six deer that were not too far away. And my friend, who happens to know certain psukim about how to communicate with animals, said the pasuk for the deer. Well, there was one deer that was within 15 feet, and the other five were sort of recessed into the back by the trees. So I said, well, if you're walking, you know, you can't really assess whether or not the deer is responding to you. So why don't we just stop walking for a moment? You'll say the pasuk, and then you'll see the reaction. So he stopped, said the pasuk, and then the deer bolted away. So I said, that's the irreligious one. All right. That was my joke. So in this week's parasha, we find that there are times where we say in the pasuk, Adam ki yakum mikem karban la'Hashem, that a person is an Adam. An Adam is a reference to a human being that is on the lowest level. An Ish is the highest level. So Adam is a person who feels that he's very low. He's done certain things that he's not happy about. He's ashamed of them. And so therefore, he has to bring a karban in order to draw himself closer, because the word karban also has the word krav, to draw near. And so a person is drawing near, and he's trying to understand the nun, right, which is the 50 levels of understanding. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to get to 49. But here you have a karban. You have a person who's trying to draw near to better understand and appreciate his mission in life. And he feels very despondent. So the Tefer Shmuel brings down that you want to understand how to lift yourself up, learn from the behema. Plus it continues, min ha-behema, min ha-tzon, min ha-bakar, sakrivas kabanchem. You'll offer your sacrifices, and you'll see from these animals you will uplift yourself, because by simply designating an animal as hektish, that animal takes on a whole new role. And then after it's shechted, kalacha, it is then prepared and served, and people make a bracha on the brisket, the pastrami, the corned beef, and the flanken, and all of these delicious meats. So you're elevating the behemoth. Much more so, a human being has the power of speech. So when we say Amen Yehi Meraba and other good things that come out of our mouths, that's a really wonderful way to elevate ourselves. So an animal can't speak. It just acts like an animal. The buck or the tzon, right? The oxen and the sheep. But we elevate them through our amira. How much more so we can elevate ourselves through our own amiros that are said in concert with davening and with learning. That's point number one. Point number two is that we find at the tail end of the parsha that a person is not able to afford certain animals, because if it's a certain type of a sin, then it requires a bakar, sometimes an ox, sometimes it's a shlamim, sometimes it's two animals, sometimes it's an ola, you don't eat any of it, it's offered as a sacrifice straight up. And then from there you have the Dei B'nai Yonah, right? You have the two pigeon doves or the two turtle doves. And so if that's what he's able to afford, then that's what he should bring. But then a person may not be able to do that as well. So then therefore he can bring kemach solas. He could bring some flour. Whichever it is, it's always going to be a pinch against the person. And so the question then becomes, can a person pay off a sin through the karban? Right? A person is very wealthy, so what does it matter if he buys, you know, one ox versus 10 oxen? He's just simply, you know, paying the piper, so to speak, and he's getting away with all these sins simply by paying off, which is why the Torah says no. Rabbi Tellner used to give us a shiur on this particular topic in Yeshiva University, and he would always say, "Bismach yado al rosh hapar," that you have, the Kohen has to put his hands, but the person also has to do the same. The person has to put his hands on top of the animal. And why is that necessary, that he should do it and not the Kohen? Because then you'll feel the blood pulsating through the animal, and you'll understand that this poor ox, who is just simply trying to chew its cud and enjoy some grass and leave everybody else alone and just do his own thing. Same thing with the tzon, with the sheep and the lamb, right? All these animals, you look at them, you could see the innocence. And you're taking away this life, this animal life. And so therefore, a person will be very moved by this, and then he won't be no pun on words, with the word move. But he'll be very moved on this, and then he won't want to create another circumstance by which an animal has to be slaughtered in order to reconcile his shortcomings. So that's the reason why the Samach Yado al Rosh HaPar, that you have to put your hands on top in order to feel the blood pulsating through, and then the degree of likelihood of recurrence will be limited. So that's point number two or three. The last thing I wanted to just share with you is, so therefore we say that a person has to put his hands on it. But even if a person is not offering an animal, if it's a poorer person, then obviously everything to him is a very big pinch, even if it's just flour. So therefore you see that the Torah is amazing and how it incorporates all of the human different types of socioeconomic backgrounds that a person approaches when he comes near toward the Kohen to reconcile a shortcoming. Now, there's also another pasuk by Shishi. It says, Nefesh ki sechata, v'yot achas mikol mitzvot Hashem, ashalo te'asena ve'ashem. The language, the pasuk of this particular verse is very odd, because it begins by saying that nefesh ki sechata. Now we're no longer talking about an Adam, a nefesh. So this already infuses with us that we must be referring to machshava. So nefesh ki sechata, a person has an ill thought, right? Nevertheless, despite his thoughts, he still goes ahead and does the tzivoy Hashem. He does the command. And then we learn what? That ashalo te'asana. No, the Torah says, you should not have done this. V'ashem, and then you have to bring a karban asham. You start off with a chatas, you end up with an asham. You start off with a simple sin offering. A chatas is also a cleansing offering, right? V'yishchatu esam mizbeach, and they cleanse the mizbeach, which is in this week's parsha. And then you end up with an asham, which is a very serious, which is really something that's negligent, right? You don't get an asham karban unless a person is doing something of negligence or related to negligence on purpose, and he's doing it, so to speak, to upset someone else. And that's clearly not behavior that's customary, to put it mildly. So how do we understand this? So the Kedushas Levi says that if a person walks around thinking that he did a fulfillment of Hashem's words, nefesh ki sechata, so if that's the way he's approaching it, then that's clearly, he hasn't done anything at all. They used to tell stories about Reb Zusha and Reb Melech from Lezhensk. They would go from one town to the other to inspire Jews. And Reb Melech would say, if only I can say a bracha shahako with kavana. If only I can say, you know, berachas amazon with kavana. People look at him like, what are you talking about? You're the biggest Rebbe of our day and age. How could you say such a thing? But if a person realizes that he hasn't really accomplished much at all, then there's so much more for that person to accomplish. But if a person thinks that he's done everything and that God owes me one, right? I did a mitzvah for you, God. Now you owe me one. That clearly is a demonstration that you haven't done anything. You haven't learned anything. You haven't improved anything. And that's something problematic that needs to be fixed. So that's why it says, nefesh ki sechata. He starts up with a conception that's false. What's the false conception? That God owes me for what I do for him. You're giving up time in order to study something other than everything else. And as a result, how are you going to be able to function in the morning by doing carpool or by doing other obligations around the house, especially now that there are so many things to be done, right? Well, if a person walks around thinking that everything is coming to him and that God owes him for all the good things that he's doing, and his mitzvos equate to nothing, right? Ashalot te'asana. You really didn't do anything at all. In fact, not only did you not do anything, you actually harmed yourself, ve'ashem, and as a result, you have to bring a karban asham, which is a very serious karban. So I think the message over here is that when we do for our kids, when we do for our children, we can't turn to them and say, you know, you owe me one. No, kach nitzarta. You were created, you know, you created this life, so now you're going to work to ensure that it's well taken care of. And the same thing, you were created to do masim and mitzvos tovos. You were created to do mitzvos and masim tovim. So therefore, that's your obligation. So when you fulfill it, you should be happy that you've done it. And what does the Torah say? The Kedushas Levi brings down schar mitzvah mitzvah. That the reward for doing a mitzvah is the opportunity to do yet another mitzvah. Schar mitzvah v'hayah amalaka. There is no reward for mitzvahs in this world. Rather, schar mitzvah mitzvah we all get credit for the opportunity to do what we can, and we should always be zochet to do as much as we can. And in that schus, we should be blessed with arichas yamim v'shanim tovim. This is Mordechai Plotzker from Elizabeth, New Jersey. Thank you all for listening in, and have a wonderful evening.